Well, Merry Christmas and welcome to Spring Valley. My name is Brad Smith and I'm the pastor here. If you haven't met me, I'm so glad that you were able to come and be with us to celebrate. This is one of our favorite services all year. I say that about a lot of them, but this really is one of the ones. It's so great because we just get to come right before we gather. I know some of you are headed from here to go to different family events. And then tomorrow, many of you will be gathered with family and friends to open presents and to celebrate together. And it's so wonderful just to take a few moments to just worship. That's what this whole service is all about. It's just about worshiping the Lord. And so tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. And you might not be able to see your Bible unless you have it on your phone. That's fine. I'll read it. And we're just going to read a little bit, and then I'm just going to talk a little bit about what's going on there. We're going to talk a lot about obedience tonight in this whole idea of the Christmas story. And so Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant." The first thing that we see in this Christmas story is we see the obedience of Joseph. Obedience of Joseph. And if we go to Matthew chapter 1, and we're not going to take time this evening to look at that, we see that when Joseph found out that his fiance, and really the betrothal process is stronger than what we look at in the engagement process. It was really as though they were already married, yet they had not come together in marriage. They had not consummated that marriage yet. It was still something separate. They were living with their families, preparing for that wedding, preparing for that marriage. And when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, I think he was probably a little upset because he knew that he was not the father. And Matthew chapter 1 tells us that he had decided that he was just going to divorce, do away with Mary, and move on. Now, he was going to do it in a secretive way, not make a big deal of it. He could have brought her in front of the town council there at the city gate and accused her of adultery, and had she been found guilty, they could have taken her outside the city gate there and stoned her to death. That was the law. That was the punishment for that. He could have done that, and he decided he wasn't going to do that. We see Joseph all the way through what we know of him in Scripture. We see his integrity all the way across the board. And so we see when he finds out that Mary was pregnant, instead of divorcing her, when the angel Gabriel shows up, that he is obedient and marries her. He decided, yes, I see what's going on here, and he was going to marry her anyway. But then we also see obedience to his governing authorities. Now, they were living at a time when the Jews did not really have their own self-governing system. They had somewhat, but it was really kind of set up for them by Rome. And the Roman Empire, they had conquered pretty much the whole known world, and one of the ways that they would operate is they would operate in a manner to induce fear into the lives of those people that they had conquered. And so they would put people up on the hillsides and crucify them all over the hillsides. So later on, when Easter shows up and we all come back to church, we will talk about the crucifixion, and we think maybe that's a special thing for Jesus. That was a very common thing. They could go all the way through the area and on the hillsides all around Jerusalem and all through Judea and Galilee and Samaria and all throughout the Roman Empire. They would see people hanging on these crosses because they said, we're going to make sure that they don't start any rebellion against us. And so we see here the Jews didn't really like the Romans. We see that the Romans could come in at any time, go in and begin living in a house, and they could go and have the family cook food for them. They could go and take anyone and say, you're going to carry my pack for the next mile. They could do all of these different things. And so the Jews hated them. They didn't love the Romans. Yet here, when the Roman emperor said, everyone has to go back to your hometown because we need to take a census. By the way, that's coming up in our own country here in the next year, right? That was what was happening here. And we see that even though it wasn't a godly, biblical government, it was still the governing authority and still was there to be obeyed. And so Joseph went and he obeyed them. And so we see Joseph's obedience. Verse 6 says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So first we see Joseph's obedience. Second, we see Mary's obedience. Now, we know the story about how we have it kind of depicted right over here, how there was no room in the inn, and so they were there in the manger, in the feeding trough. They were there with all the animals. There was no place for them to stay. We know that. We've seen the nativity scenes. We've heard the story. But I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes and Mary's shoes. That they, when they found out they were pregnant, it wasn't because they took a pregnancy test, but because an angel from heaven, an angel who spent time in God's presence, an angel who reflected the glory of God, showed up and said, y'all are going to be parents. By the way, this is going to be God in flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us. And Mary, what was her response? She was fully submissive to God. In Luke 1:38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. Now, I know in all of our lives, we've had things happen that we haven't really been on board with, right? We've all had those different circumstances. And how we react to them really demonstrates a lot about who we are. And here we see Mary, that when she finds out as a very young girl, maybe as young as 14 or 15 years old, never having any sexual relationships with anyone, engaged to this Joseph guy, an angel shows up and says, you're going to be pregnant, and the child is going to be God in flesh. And her response was, I'm your servant. Do in my life as you wish. You see, this obedience in her full submission to God was regardless of where it took her or what she had to do. Where did it take her? Well, it took her first to Bethlehem, to this stable, to this manger, to where all the animals hung out. If you came to our live nativity, you saw kind of the animals. And after we did our dress rehearsal on Friday night, I commented to someone, it's starting to smell like a barn down here. And that was one night that it was right there. That's where she had her baby. So that's where it first took her, but then ultimately it took her where she was standing at the foot of the cross as her firstborn son, who in a miraculous way came into the world because he was God in flesh. He died this incredibly painful, terrible death. By the way, crucifixion has been demonstrated to be the most inhumane and painful death ever invented. And so she went first to this stable. Second, she was at the foot of the cross. And all along the way, she had this same mindset. May it be done to me according to your will. Joseph's obedience, Mary's obedience. Let's go on and keep reading. Verse 8, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. We see Joseph's obedience, we see Mary's obedience. Thirdly, we see the obedience of the shepherds. The first thing we see in their obedience is we see their immediate obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God tells us to move and we don't move, that is disobedience. And so here are the shepherds out in the fields, complete darkness, the glory of God shines from these angels, and what's their response? Let's go straight to Bethlehem. Their obedience immediately is an example to us in how we are to live our lives as well. But not only their immediate obedience, but their routine obedience. What do we mean by that? Well, what does it say there in verse 20? It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Where did they return to? They went back to their fields, back to their sheep, back to their jobs, back to their families, back to their lives. But I don't think they were the same people they were before the angels showed up. Because if the angels showed up in here tonight, it would completely change all of us for the rest of our lives. And by the way, we have something greater than angels that have shown up. That's the Word of God. It did not just cause them to obey immediately. It caused them to continually obey. Sunday morning, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about what does that mean to have routine obedience in our lives in response to Christmas. If you don't have a church home, we would love to see you here at 10:15 a.m. on Sunday. But then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is where we just were. Matthew chapter 2 says this, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem. By the way, this King Herod was the so-called Jewish king. He wasn't even Jewish, and he wasn't rightfully to be on the throne. He was a puppet of Rome. He just wanted power, but that's beside the point. And he said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He was disturbed because he wanted to retain his power. If there was a rightful king of the Jews, he didn't want him around because he wanted to remain in power. So Herod assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ or where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. First, we see Joseph's obedience. Second, Mary. Third, the shepherds. Fourthly, we see the obedience of the foreign magi, the foreign wise men. By the way, we don't know how many magi or wise men there were. There were three types of gifts. There could have been 100 of them. There could have been 6 of them. There could have been 3. We don't know. But what we do know is that they were already looking for the Messiah. They were not Jewish. But they had ancestors who had had interactions with Jews when Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon came and took the Jews out of Jerusalem, out of Judah, into captivity over there into the land of the Chaldeans. We had Daniel. We had others who had influence in the lives of these magi, these foreign wise men, and surely would have spoken to them about the Messiah. So much so that when this phenomenon of this star, this unexpected heavenly light showed up, they were ready and they knew what it meant. And so we see their obedience of expectation. They were looking for the star. I have a question for us tonight. Do we expect God to show up? Do we expect God to call us to be obedient in some great way? Or are we kind of hiding in the bushes hoping he doesn't call our name? God has never called a single person to be a secret agent Christian. He's called us to live expectantly, to live obediently. And we see that from these foreign magi. But then, how about this? We see their obedience of putting aside their lives to find Jesus. They did not call Uber to come get them, to take them across the desert. They had to pack up, get on their camels and donkeys and horses and whatever they had, make sure they had enough food and water, provisions, tents, people to help them. This would have been a big caravan. This process of going across the desert, it's not, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in the desert. I haven't, but you don't go straight across. You die when you do that. You have to go on the routes where there's water, there's places to stay, there's shelter, there's towns, all of those sort of things. This would have been about a year and a half to 2 years one way. So when they were leaving their home, they were saying, we know for the next 3 to 4 years, we will not be back here. However, God has spoken to us, and we must go. The obedience of putting our lives on hold to follow the Lord. Sometimes we don't even want to do that for a one-week mission trip. Or we don't want to commit to teaching a connect group for 1 year. Or we don't want to commit to serving as a deacon for 2 years. And here were these people who put their lives on hold just to find Jesus and worship him. And then lastly, in these magi, we see the obedience of worship through giving. Worship through giving. They gave some very expensive gifts to honor the Messiah. Very expensive gifts. Gifts that the family was going to need. That they were going to have to use to survive. They were going to go down to Egypt. They were going to have to come back. They were going to eventually settle in Nazareth. They had a lot of travel that was going on. They had living expenses there in Bethlehem. And this was a way that they were going to be taken care of. That the Magi showed up probably at the right time to meet the needs that they had. We here at Spring Valley, each year we contribute to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for world missions. We set a goal. And every year since I have been here, we have surpassed that goal. And we did it again this year. We're at just around $13,000 as of yesterday. Our goal was $12,000. That's incredible. That's incredible. That is worship through giving. And that is one way that we can be obedient. And so simply, as we come to this Christmas time, as we come to the story of Jesus coming to earth as Emmanuel, God is with us, as we hear the story of the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, as we see the decorations of trees and we give and we receive gifts, I have one question for us to ask ourselves and answer, and it's simply this: am I living an obedient life before Jesus this Christmas. The thing that strikes me about the Christmas story, time and time again, the more I read it, the more I look at it, the more I study it, is what we see is what we just talked about here briefly tonight, obedience. What if Mary had decided not to obey? What if Joseph had decided not to obey? What if the shepherds, what if the wise men, what if they'd all decided not to obey? Now, the great thing that we know is that God is sovereign and his plans will not be stopped. But there is still an aspect of our obedience. So I'm going to ask, we're going to pray. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to the end here in just a moment? We're going to be dismissed by singing Silent Night. And I just want you to ask yourself this question. Am I living an obedient life before Jesus this Christmas? The greatest gift ever given to the world was Jesus. God with us. The greatest gift we can ever receive is salvation. This baby in the manger is God in the flesh. He came for one reason. Because he loves you. He came to take away our sin so that we could have eternal life and relationship with him. Tomorrow, when you give and receive gifts, in order for someone to take the gift that you give them, they simply have to be willing to take it, right? They don't have to earn it. They don't have to pay for it. They just simply take it. Jesus is standing here before you today, offering you the greatest gift of eternal life, of forgiveness, of relationship with him. The Bible says, whoever believes in their heart that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave, and whoever calls on the Lord will be forgiven, will be saved. I pray that that would be you tonight. Jesus, as we come to this Christmas season, I pray that every single one of us will have received this most important gift of salvation, eternal life. Lord, for all of my friends in here, those I know, those I've just met, those I haven't met, Lord, my prayer for them is that they would know Jesus in a real and personal way. Father, I pray that each one of us would live obedient lives before you, not only here at Christmas, but each and every day, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.